Start your day connecting faith to life with Faith Radio Mornings.
Let it rise.
Good morning. It's 4 minutes after the hour. Happy Monday. Happy May 1st. Bill Arnold here, and I want to say I missed you over the weekend. I hope you had a good weekend. It's nice to be back here, and it's nice to have you listening because we love you, just so you know. We care about you as you're getting ready to go to work or as you're getting ready to face whatever you've got today. We just want you to know you are deeply cared for because God loves you. And I was thinking about a passage I read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. It says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And isn't it nice to know that he cares for you? And it also says, be self-controlled and alert because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. So there's lots of things going on that we have to be aware of and be alert for. And when we talk about anxiety, when it says cast all your cares on him because he cares for you, we really need to take that very seriously, because I was reading in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend about how much anxiety people have. There's now like 11 different kinds of anxiety. And this report said, this article said, one in three suffer from pretty significant anxiety. And I don't know if that's maybe you. Are you one of those people that you have anxiety? Well, if you have it, then guess what? You're taking it to work this morning with you. And that could create trouble at work as well, because maybe we're not functioning at our very best if we've got lots of anxiety. So we're going to talk to Dr. Glenn Pickering in just a minute. We're going to talk about toxic kinds of relationships at work. And obviously, there's always a 50-50 relationship, because if you've got a difficult relationship at work, it's going to be 50% you and maybe 50% the other person. Because let's be honest, let's take responsibility for our half of this, our side of the street. That seems only fair, doesn't it? And also, we're going to talk just a little bit about how we can maybe deal with some of our anxiety. The Bible says, cast it all on him because he cares for you. So that's where we want to start and probably end. But in between that, we're going to have some expertise from Dr. Glenn Pickering just after the break. It's 6 minutes after the hour. So glad you're with us. Be back in a minute. Good morning. It's 7 minutes after the hour. You know, it's May Day. It's the 1st of May, and it's a new week, and it's Monday, and I hope you had a great weekend, because sometimes the great weekend makes you want to have more weekend. It's like, oh, if I just had one more weekend day, that would be so nice. And some of you are going back to work today feeling anxious and feeling full of anxiety, and that's usually something that kicks in on Monday more than usual. And I've on the studio line, Dr. Glenn Pickering. We're going to talk a little bit today about toxic work environments and how our anxiety is something that we live with, but we also take it to work with us, don't we, Glenn? Good morning.
So true. Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, yeah. So we have these one in three have anxiety, and it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I heard that intro of yours. I thought, wow, that's really interesting. One in three, that's a lot.
Yeah, I'm surprised I knew that before you, but you know how that goes. But, I mean, it's a serious
condition. Your research.
Yeah, it's a serious condition where we have anxiety. And the Bible says, cast all your care on him because he cares for you. So that's the starting point. What do we do after that?
Well, here's what I love about what you said in the intro. You put together two things that are perfect. You talked about how we all, well, not all of us, a lot of us tend to bring anxiety to work with us. And you talked about toxic relationships. And so I would like to talk just for a moment about how those go together, if that's okay.
Please do.
Okay. You know me, I wrote the book called Tag about how we get in wrong relationships with the people around us because we're playing tag. Well, see, what I've come to find is the more anxious we are, the more we're likely to play that game. Now, here's why that's important. We all go to work, we go to church, we be with our family because we want to be part of that group, that work group, that ministry group, that family group. And any company or ministry works best as long as everybody's really focused on doing what's right for the group, doing what's right for the ministry, for the company. But when we get anxious and fearful, we start thinking about ourselves and worrying about ourselves and way too focused on our own self, which actually makes it very difficult then for us to be in right relationship, because we're not focused on the group or the ministry. We're just sort of focused on our own concerns, and that will have the effect of wrecking our relationships. So our anxiety keeps us too focused on ourselves instead of the group, which then leads us to have bad relationships with the people in the group. And so it's just brilliant that you put those two things together, because I think they really do go together. When I'm anxious, I do not do relationships well.
You know, Glenn, when you mention that we're thinking about ourselves too much, I think I see that as a trend, period. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, you went to the pound and got a dog. Now you go rescue an animal. And you instantly take a selfie with it and put it on your Facebook page. And you ask a person about their dog, you know, what kind of dog is that? The first thing they're going to tell you is that it's a rescue, because they're so interested in letting you know what they did.
Right.
I mean, we're so self-obsessed about everything. Let's talk about me.
Yeah, and if we're done with that, then we can talk about me a little bit longer.
All right, let's start with me, though. No, but as you play the game, Glenn, I want to back up as we play the game of tag, and I want to let our listeners know a little bit more about this, because I think this is so brilliant. You used the word brilliant with me. I'm using it back with you now, so we're even. So the tag game is, as a kid, you got hit, and then you were it. So then what you had to do is make someone else it. But everyone was avoiding you at that point. You had no friends.
Right.
And what you don't want to do at work is be it.
Right. You don't want to be the bad one. And let's be honest, just like there are people who are anxious, there are certain work environments or certain ministry environments, if we're honest, that are also anxious and everybody's really worried. It can happen especially if the company is growing or shrinking, or if there are layoffs, or if you're merging with another company, or if you have a boss who's really critical. It makes the whole group sort of anxious, and then the whole group starts functioning less effectively, because now it's all of the people in the group, instead of trying to contribute their best to the group, are real worried about their own selves, and boy, there's that where it all goes bad.
Well, that is all about working in opposition to what any company wants to do, instead of working together as a team. You're starting to only look to save your own skin in any certain environment, and that's not going to be healthy.
Then you don't want to be it. You don't want to be the one who makes a mistake. You don't want to look bad. I often go into companies and help them create non-tag playing work environments, and I tell them I can help them increase their productivity by a ton. And they're like, oh, no, Glenn, our people are already working really hard. And I think, but they're not working really hard in the right direction.
Say more about that. That's interesting.
Well, I just think, let's say we're in a group where there's been a lot of change, or there's been some layoffs, or there's rumors going around us, so we're all anxious, and we're all kind of, we don't want to do it wrong, because I don't want to get the one who gets laid off. Or let's say we have a real critical boss who just jumps on every mistake we make and is always real critical. So then I don't walk around thinking, hey, what can I contribute to the company? What can I do right? What's my good idea here? I just keep thinking mostly about how can I make sure I don't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the best way to do, the best thing to do if I want to make sure I don't do anything wrong? You know what the best thing to do is?
What?
Nothing.
Yeah, so you're kind of...
you don't do it wrong.
Right, but you're also living in kind of a state of paralysis, and you're not effective, and you're not engaged, and you're not being a team player at that point.
Right, exactly. And so then I've seen a lot of critical bosses who think, hey, my job is to drive people and make sure we get the most productivity out of them. But see, if I create an environment where people are anxious, I actually get way less productivity out of every single one of those people than I would if I just helped them relax and just do their job.
Mm-hmm. I worked for a company, I did an event for them years and years ago, and I said to the sales manager, do you give the salespeople a specific goal? And he said, oh, heavens no, because if I did, that's probably all they'd try to reach. And every one of the salesperson, according to the sales manager, said they were anywhere from 3% to 26% above what I would have set their goals to be as far as sales. So you talk about an environment where people feel supported and encouraged and cared for, their anxiety is going to drop a little bit, and they're going to be less toxic amongst the people that they work with, and they're going to be more productive. Does that sound fair?
Right. It's totally fair. And so partly it starts with, you know, you're right, about who is running that company or that department or that ministry. And they can set the tone where people are able to really focus on what they have to contribute instead of being too focused on themselves and on being worried. Now, if you're an individual person and you're thinking, okay, if there are toxic environments at work or toxic relationships at work, what can I do about it specifically? I think it's helpful to understand that when we get anxious, we are too focused on ourselves, and it can happen at work. It can just happen in a conversation with somebody. Maybe you're a person who's kind of shy or a little awkward at first when you meet people.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise you, any of us who are would say we're kind of anxious when we meet people, I promise you we're too worried about ourselves, about how we look or how we sound or what they think about us.
And absolutely
that's
true.
Bad, right? I mean, that's just where we're focused.
Absolutely
and
true.
Our anxiety keeps us focused on ourselves. And the actual fastest way to break out of that is to literally focus in every way you can on the other person. What they're saying, how they look, what they're wearing, give them a compliment about something they just said or something they just did. And in that process of really focusing on them instead of yourself, you will already feel less anxious.
Yeah, Glenn, is that the reason that you meet someone and they say their name and you instantly can't remember their name because you're too busy thinking about yourself?
Right. It's because you're so anxious you can't think about yourself.
Yeah, all right.
I won't bore you with the details of the study, but there was a study done a little while back that studied the effect of anxiety on memory. And if we get anxious enough, we remember almost nothing.
That's so interesting. Glenn, we're going to take a little break when we come back. Let's let's continue this conversation on anxiety. Right. And it's 16 minutes after the hour. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with Dr. Glenn Pickering. Good morning. Bill Arnold here. I'm talking to Dr. Glenn Pickering. He's written a book called Playing Tag, You're Not It, with his wife, Gwen. And also, we are talking about the toxic work environment. Glenn, you need muscles to do push-ups, but you can't do push-ups without muscles, right?
Right. So, you got to practice.
So I want to ask the question, which can you fix first? Do you have to fix your anxiety before you can start caring for people better? Or do you start caring for people better and that reduces your anxiety?
Here's the interesting thing. Well, let me see if I can say it simply. You focus on the other person first, and here's how come. You know what? You've heard me say a million times about how everything goes in this order. Think, feel, do.
Mm-hmm.
So my thinking totally drives my feelings, and my feelings then drive my behavior. And so if I want to change my behavior or my feelings, I have to change my thinking. So as long as I'm thinking about myself, then I'm going to feel anxious. In fact, I spell anxious with a capital I right in the middle, because I promise you, anytime I'm anxious, I'm thinking, how am I going to take care of this? I got to fix this. I got to handle this. What am I going to do? How am I going to take care of that? What do I have to do? How can I ever? All those sentences that where I think I'm alone, where I'm just by myself, make me anxious.
Mm.
That's why the Lord said, be not anxious, for I am with you.
Yes.
See, it's the belief that we're alone that actually makes us then feel anxious and behave then in those self-defeating anxious ways.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to start off with our thinking, which is why as soon as I am thinking about the other person, really focused on them, and I'm really thinking, how can I help them be comfortable? How can I help them be welcome? How can I be helpful to them at my job? And I'm really, really, truly thinking about them. Then my anxiety will literally dissipate all by itself because, how can I say, God understands that at the foundation of every fear we have is a fear of being alone, which is why in 1,000 pages of Scripture, God really makes one promise, that I'll always be with you, that you're not alone. And so we can work on our thinking, and that'll help us not feel anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And so then people say, well, Glenn, how do I change my thinking? And here's what I know. I can't change that by myself.
Okay. Now, Glenn, let me ask you this. As we talk about a work environment, and we want to be, we don't want the work environment to be toxic, but we also always just know that there's going to be toxic work environments. But you go into any organization, whether it be a ministry, a church, or a corporation, there are going to be wise people that work there, there are going to be foolish people that work there, and there's going to be evil people that work there. I mean, maybe Fred from accounting just got back from the Satanist convention. in Sacramento over the weekend. And you go at a certain level, you know, Ed's he's a lost guy. And but right. there's also some evil that's going on, right?
Right.
Am I nuts here?
Yeah. No, well, you might be nuts. We can't rule that out, I don't think. But you're still making a good point.
Okay, good.
Which is, but see, even then, let's say I know that Fred's got struggles, and he, like, well, let's just say Fred's got struggles.
Yes,
now,
no question.
It starts with my thinking. I could look at him and think to myself, you're a mess, you're a problem. I could think all kinds of judgmental thoughts about Fred, at which time all my emotions then will be emotions of judgment, condemnation, thinking I'm better than, and I will treat him very poorly, and we will start having a toxic relationship. And I will blame it on Fred because he's a mess, but my half of that is that I keep thinking about how much Fred is a mess.
Mm. So,
continue. I could think, Fred is a child of the very God who created me, and he's got his struggles, but you know what? He's still the child of our God, and I want to be focused on that at all times. And so every time I'm with Fred, I'm thinking, you're a child of God. How can I show God to you? How can I help you see God in action? And to just always be really thinking to myself, how can I be that person to you? And my feelings towards him will shift. I will have more compassion for him and more understanding. And my behavior towards him will shift also.
See, I like that very much. So if we back up a little bit, Glenn, it sounds like you're saying, make sure your emotions don't drive the train.
Right. And my emotions are driven by my thinking. So when Jesus said, you know, the Bible says, you know, let all your thoughts be captive.
Yes.
I just think, right, because Jesus understood the same thing. Honestly, if you understand the think, feel, do pattern, and you read the gospel, you realize Jesus understood this perfectly. The whole gospel is one long course in mind training. Mm. So over and over, Jesus says things like, well, I know you have heard it said, dot, dot, dot. In other words, here's what you believe, but let me lay out what's true for you.
Mm-hmm.
I know your thoughts are wrong on this, so let me change your thinking. He almost never addresses a person's behavior. He addresses their thinking because he knows that's what gets us into trouble or what actually saves us in the end is the willingness to let God alter our thinking.
Yeah. Glenn, I think of when Jesus was in the wilderness and he went 30 days without food, and then he encountered Satan, and Satan tried to tempt him, and he started responding with his thinking by saying, it is written.
Yes.
He didn't start with, this is how I'm feeling, because obviously he was starved.
Right, exactly. And so sometimes people say, well, Glenn, I live my life by my emotions. And I think, oh, golly, I'm sorry to hear that. Because by definition, then, I will be living a life that's out of control, because I'm really not in control of my emotions. I'm only in control of my thinking, which then drives my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I said a second ago, there's somebody in my office I'm thinking wrongly about, and I need to change my thinking. I'm not going to be able to do it by myself. And I promise you, this is one of the most effective uses of prayer.
I love it.
If there's somebody who's bothering me and I can only think badly about them, I'm going to go to my prayer time and I'm going to say, God, help me see this person through your eyes.
Mm.
The eyes that see a child of yours, the eyes that see someone who's really, really struggling, the eyes that see someone that you created, help me see that person through your eyes. Help me think of them the way you think about them.
Yeah, but Glenn, if you don't like that person enough to pray for them, then you got even bigger troubles, don't you?
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't matter who they are. This is that. When Jesus said, I love this, when Jesus said you're supposed to love your neighbor as ourselves, and the Pharisees, they're looking for a loophole. They're thinking the neighbor just means the three people who live next to them who look just like them. And so he tells a story about the Good Samaritan, which we think, oh, that's a sweet story. And I think, no, that's an in-your-face story. The Pharisee said, who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, every single person you will ever meet, including the people you can't stand.
I love it.
So who am I supposed to pray for? Every single person I meet, including the people I can't stand.
Oh, that's awesome. Glenn, I think you have a new website. Is it drglennpickering.com? Is that it?
Yeah, glennpickering.com. It's still in construction. We'll be done in another week or so.
Awesome.
Right, glennpickering.com. Thank you.
Glenn with two N's, just so you know.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yes,
all right.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for being on the show, and I will talk to you again soon, I hope.
I so look forward to that.
Thanks, Glenn. All right. It's 26 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear some news. We've got a great second half coming up with Dr. Richard Land. He weighs in, and he's always got a strong opinion, and I like listening to him. Be back in a minute.